You don't want that conscience bothering you, so you fight to rationalize it, that it's okay. We even fight to make it a law that says we can do that. You know why we sometimes are fighting for immoral laws? Is because those that are engaged in it feel deep, deep inside. They know it's wrong. And God is saying, I purchased you out of that. Flee that. You are not your own. You belong to me.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message entitled Living Exceptionally, where he showed us that when we become believers, there should be a noticeable change in our outward behavior. Yet so often, we continue right on living like those around us. Well, today we'll see that one of the most important things we can develop is a heart of obedience toward God. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Living Exceptionally.
Well, sometimes we say, well, you know, why doesn't God just relax his laws? I mean, we live in a society that everybody's doing it. Why don't we just change? Oh, some of us are. And you see churches changing things to reflect more of the world so you can't tell them apart. Yeah, why doesn't God just change his laws for us? Because we're in a different society. Let me say this real carefully. Listen very carefully. You don't want God to change his laws. Not for us. No, because we are just teeny and selfish and arrogant. And if God changed his laws, everything would fall apart. You don't want God to change his laws. Think about it. Look at the physical laws. The moral laws may be represented in the physical laws. Let's look at the physical laws. If God changed his law of gravity, where would you be? Whew, it's like... You don't want God to change his laws. Take a look at the universe. Did you know that everything is in such precision, in rotational orbit, around the sun, which is 93 million miles away from us? The Earth is tilted at 23 degrees on its axis. It's spinning and flying as it's spinning through space, 66,000 miles an hour. Right now, you're traveling faster than the spin cycle on your washing machine. And yet you're balanced. Why? Because God has everything in precision, cadence, and rhythm. The sun burns at 455 million degrees Fahrenheit. Watch this. If God changed his laws, which are so precise, by the way, that astronomers can tell you what the next eclipse will be in the next 20 years down to the second. You know why? Because they know everything is so precise and so dependable. And it stays right in its orbit. Nothing changes. If God decided to change the laws of gravity or change the laws of spatial distance and proximity, if God said, well, let's, you know, 93 million miles, let's give or take a couple million miles, like no one will notice. If the Earth were any closer to the sun or if it turned any slower than it is, you would alternately burn to death and on the other side freeze to death every day. You don't want God's laws to change. Because if he relaxed his laws, there would be a cataclysmic collision that would be greater than the explosion of a supernova. We would be incinerated in a nanosecond if God relaxed his laws. But he put everything in the precision order and said, stay, and it obeyed. In fact, let's read as I give you a little glimpse of the universe that God commands. How does everything stay in such precision? Let's read about it. Go. The Lord spoke, and the heavens were created, and all the stars were born. He assigned the sea and its boundaries, and when he spoke, the world began. It appeared at his command. God spoke, whew, and the Milky Way begins. Everything in precise order. And the word of God spoke to it. He said to the stars, stay there and shine. Blink, blink, blink. How long have you been here? Blink. A million years or so. Blink. Why don't you change? Can't. God said to blink. Blink, blink. You look at all of the planets in perfect rotation around the sun in our solar system, which is our solar ball in the middle, burning, doesn't ever burn out. after releasing all of its gases, and then all of this nuclear reactor here, and then all of these going around the sun, the Lord says, rotate. Whew. They just start rotating. Everything God spoke to and said, you stay, you rotate, you turn on your axis, and you spin and fly. Everybody, go. Whew. And everything does it for millions of years. Everything that God created obeys his command except the people he created. People that he created in his image are the only part of creation that disobeys. And God gives a choice and loves us so much, gives us a choice to say no. And loves us so much that he himself came in the person of Christ to show us God's way so that he would adopt us as king's kids and show us his property, which is the universe that he commands. It's amazing what God does. Let's read this next one out of 2 Peter. Go. By the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water. These existed long ago. How long ago? Could be millions of years, billions maybe. Some people say, but didn't God create the earth in like 6 days, and on the seventh he rested? Yep. Well, there you go. It's not that old. No, it could be millions or billions of years old. Compute that for me. Real easy. We look at a day and we say, God can't do all that in a day. We put our time clock on God. Click, go. Wrong time clock. You see, the Bible says God is light and in him is there is no darkness at all. What if God moved at 186,000 miles per second? That's the speed of light because God is light. In one 24-hour period, he can create what billions of years, it would take billions of years to create in 6 days. Oh, if he's traveling at the speed of light, also, whew, wow, how'd you do that? Oh, I just did it at 186,000 miles per second. Oh, I just had a time watch here, a clock. You didn't do it very fast, according to this. Yeah, but everything was created. You see, we use a measurement, man's measurement on God, and he doesn't fit. We use a time clock on God, it doesn't fit. God is saying, don't measure me with your standards. It is just so archaic. Let God be God. But start with the fact that when God says, I did it in your measurement of 6 days, he did. But he measures it completely different than we. Watch what God can do. It's amazing. Well, have they existed long ago? Absolutely. In fact, let's read this next one. Go. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them? I want you to see a glimpse into what God wants for all of us. To just take a look at the first 3 feet of his property that he commands called the universe. And he says, watch, I created the sun between these fingers. Maybe these, I don't know which, but he created the sun and the moons and the planets. And who is man? You want to know how small the earth is compared to the sun? Could you dim the lights a little bit? And take a look at this. In the upper corner will be the sun. I can only show you about 10% of it because it's so large. And this in the middle is a solar flare. Can you see that? And over here is the earth. Can you see that in the corner? Look at the size of the earth compared to the sun. And God says, I have chosen that little ball. There is where I will send my son, and people will live. It'll be different from every other planet in the universe. And there I will set my heart and my love. And what is mere man, the psalmist says, that you should care about that? Look at the rest that you've created. And we begin to understand that God chose us to be his own. Again, would you read with me the scripture? Go. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them and hold them tight. And God, who commands the universe, and that little speck that you don't even see anymore called Earth, where people live on, we look at the commander of the universe and the people on that speck, we raise our fist at God and say, change your laws for me, because I want to do my thing. And it's like, are you kidding? When you realize how great God is, we should fall on our knees and say, God, what I have is yours. Remember, he bought us off the slavery auction block, made us, adopted us as his children, holds us close until our hearts change, and then show us with his commands a new framework through which we can see what God has given for us to inherit. And then as our heart changes, he shows us more and more and more. But yet we, in our pride and our arrogance, say, God, change your laws. It's not fair. Like, are you nuts? Do you know who you're talking to? God in his love holds us so that our hearts will change. We remember that God is love, and we don't want him in any way to change his laws, because there would be a cataclysmic destruction if he ever did. Now, let me go into one area of the old framework that's bleeding into this, and it's confusing a lot of people in the Christendom today, and that's the area of morality or immorality. We want to get a little bit of that over here, and God is saying, it'll kill you, it'll destroy you, don't do it. Yeah, but it's too constricting. No, that's because your heart hasn't changed yet. Keep it that way until your heart changes, and then I'll open up what I have for you. And the kingdom of God is so much grander than what the devil is fishing for you with over here as bait. Because what you don't see is he takes destruction and he paints it with romanticism and emotion, and we bite on it and it's rat poison on the inside. Don't do it, the Lord says. The kingdom of God has so much more for you if you'll do it my way, and I'll give you my commands that gives you the framework. Stay with it until your heart changes, and watch me open up a vast kingdom for you. But don't fight against it. Make sure that you're okay with that. But what we do is we bleed that in, and God is saying, it's about to kill you. That's the area of immorality in the church, to the point where the apostasy in the last days will begin with this, where even leaders in the church will take immorality and put that in places of leadership and say, this is the new church. Are you kidding? You're crazy. Don't do it. You're dishonoring God. But we do it. There's several denominations that are doing it. Don't do it. It's unbiblical. It's a worldview. It's a carnality. It's carnal Christendom. So what about this immorality stuff? Let me give you what used to be way back here when it was written about. In Greece and in Rome, in the New Testament, immorality was legal. Prostitution and slavery were two peoples that you could buy. You could buy sex, you could buy a slave. These were purchasable people. Now, the word for that, people that could be bought because there's a price on their head, there's a price that they would sell out everything for, their bodies, their morality, their faith, because there's a price on them. That word for those people, or that purchasable people, was the word porneia. Does that sound familiar to you? Yeah, it's where we get the word what? Pornography from. Yeah, you know what that means? The word porneia, which is translated as immorality in the New Testament, actually started off to mean purchasable people. There's a price. You can buy them, and they'll get rid of their families, their faith, their morality, everything, if you meet their price. Well, Satan knows how to do that. That's real easy. But we have to remember that we were on the slave block to sin, and God bankrupted heaven and purchased us by his blood, his sacrifice, and then didn't just let us go. He gave us his name, adopted us into his family, and gives us the kingdom. And he says, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom as your heart changes, and he's going to change us. But if we fight against him because we want that, then they'll always have that wanderlust and we'll fight God. Now, we might make it into heaven, but we'll miss everything on this earth. So God says, let's work on this. So this one illustration that I want to work on just today for a moment is the immorality factor, the word porneia, purchasable. But would you write down here in number three, living exceptionally means that we understand that we are not what? Purchasable. We're not purchasable. No. Now remember, you're going to have different laws and different commands in the New Testament. But remember, first of all, when God gives us the commands, we need a solid framework. And then we've got to understand that living exceptionally means that we are not what? Yeah. Now, I don't know if that's a real word. I made it up, but it sounds good. Purchasable. I don't know. But you understand what I'm saying. We don't want to be a people who can be bought. Now, the Bible says this here. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say, everyone that looks on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So he's saying, be careful, because that begins the pathway back. Because you can look through this, and oh, but the heart is over there, and it's going to pull you this way until you are still for sale. That's why the Bible says in the next one, let's read 1 Corinthians 6:18. Go. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside of his body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. When I commit adultery or go this way, I am joining myself to the world. Because the Bible says when that happens, the two shall become one. I am giving up my identity as someone who belongs to God, and I make myself one again with the world, with sin. God is saying that'll kill you from the inside out, because it erodes your perspective. And then you get to the point where you don't want that conscience bothering you, so you fight to rationalize it, that it's okay. We even fight to make it a law that says we can do that and it's okay. Why? You know why we sometimes are fighting for immoral laws? Is because that those that are engaged in it feel deep, deep inside. They know it's wrong. But if we can pass laws and it assuages, it soothes my conscience about it. And God is saying, I purchased you out of that. Flee that. Flee. You are not your own. You belong to me. In fact, would you write in the final one, that bullet? You were bought with his sacrifice. You were bought with the blood of Christ. Remember, you were on the slave, the auction block, slave to sin, slave to Satan. Jesus bankrupted heaven with his blood, purchased you, but didn't just throw you to be free. He purchased you and then adopted us as his children, gave us his name. And then he holds us close until our hearts change. Now we're going to fight against him. You don't want him to change his embrace. Learn to be okay in it. Because when you are, then he opens up to you the grandeur of the kingdom of heaven, that you will be willing and you'll be glad that you sold everything to be a part of this. For it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But now, are you your own? Nope. You've been bought with a price. Yep, let's read this last one again. The scripture in 1 Corinthians 6:19. Go. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, and that you are not your own? You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your... Let me say this to those of you young ladies out there. Your beauty is a gift. It is not your own. It will be gone one day. And some of you say, I looked in the mirror, it's already going. Young men, however cool you think you are in your looks, that's a gift from God. Don't use it for your own purposes. You've been bought. That belongs to whom? God. Your gift, your talent, your skills, your ability to make money, build businesses, that's a gift God gave you, but it's not yours. You steward it. It's His on loan to you so that you can redeem it for God's purposes. It doesn't belong to you. And young ladies, young men, your body is not your own. It has been purchased. Let me finish with this little illustration to show you how God wants to move us into the kingdom. We've got to give up that frame of reference and let His commands build us a new framework through which we see life. And even though it feels constricting, let it be there until your heart changes and watch what God can entrust to you. But always remember, when He does, it's not yours. It's His. It's on loan. Let's say I have this beautiful big house, and I have exercise gym in it. I have a big home theater. I have a beautiful swimming pool, and I have these beautiful cars. And I was talking to a friend, and I'm saying, hey, you know, I'm going on vacation. Would you like to house sit for 10 days? House, this house? Yeah. Whoa, man, I'd love to. You're good. You can use the exercise stuff. Really? Yeah, you can swim in the pool all day long. You can drive the cars. Anything I have in my refrigerator, you can eat. You can cook in this. You can watch movies in the theater, whatever you want to do. Whoa, man, this is like paradise. Great, you just go for it. Because I'd just be pleased for you to use this. Whoa, this is so cool. Well, I go on vacation. And in the meantime, he looks around and says, you know, I like purple. And there's nothing purple in here. I think I'll redecorate the house according to my liking and my pleasure. And you know what? There's a pool out there, but I don't like to swim. I'd rather skateboard. So I'm just going to change that a little bit. But I don't have enough money to do that, so I'm going to sell this home theater system and the exercise equipment and one of his nice cars. And the other car, I'm just going to paint purple because I like Barney. Well, let's say he's the worst interior decorator in the world, and he just makes this thing into a shamble. It looks horrible. Rips off the curtains because he wants sun in. And so everything is in shambles. Now, let's say 10 days later, I come back and I am aghast. I am horrified. This place, it looks like a wreck. Are you kidding? And I walk in and this person is there and having his parties and his friends over and there's stuff all over, beer spilled everywhere. And I say, what are you doing? Oh, I just wanted to make it to something that I liked. So what are you talking about? I gave you this privilege to utilize this whole place to do whatever you want to. Yeah, but I said, no, this isn't your house. I purchased this house. You didn't. I purchased it at a high price. It's not your house. You can live here, use everything you want to, but it ain't your stuff. Yeah, I sold this and sold that. Your equipment is gone. Yes, I know. It's not yours to sell. It's unsaleable. You can't do it because it ain't yours to sell. It's mine. I gave you the privilege to be a part of it, but it isn't yours. I bought it with a price, says the Lord your God about you. And He's given us so much, but we must use it according to His desires because we're stewards, not owners. That's the characteristic of a person of the kingdom of God. The Lord says, I bankrupted heaven to purchase you out of slavery. And then I gave you my name and my inheritance. And I held you close in the desert so that your heart would change. And when your heart changes, I will give you my commands so that through that you'll begin to see what I command. And then little by little, I'll open it up and you'll begin to see the grandeur of the kingdom of heaven, that when you see that treasure in a heartbeat, you'll sell everything you got in order to go this way. That's the kind of people God designed us to be, And that's the kind of people we want to be. Can you say amen to that? Amen.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Living Exceptionally by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.